You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Every weeknight, it's Buzz After Dark.
You like that?
With Eric Steele.
Hang out with me Monday through Friday from 7 to midnight for the Buzz After Dark. It's kind of like the Titanic, except instead of 3 hours to sink, it takes 5 hours.
Freaks come out at night, that's for sure. The Buzz After Dark.
After Dark.
All night long.
Awesome tunes, clothing optional.
Hope you enjoy the ride.
Weeknight 7 to midnight on 102.9 The Buzz.
Bill's Rock Station.
Hello, and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I am your host, Nesbitt. This is part three of our trilogy of episodes on Welcome to the Night. We've broken down the song and the intro. We've gotten into the cover art. We've really dug deep on this track. This episode, we're going to focus on the music video, which if you haven't watched, I recommend you go check out. It's on YouTube. Got a lot of really cool stuff coming up. This is episode number 7, Welcome to the Night, part 3. So, we've gone in depth on Welcome to the Night, but we've kind of briefly mentioned, but not really gotten into the music video. And it's funny because the music video and the idea behind it is kind of one of the most important things about the song and the album and the whole Darkness Remains idea. And before we get too deep into it, I do want to mention the Buzz 102.9 Nashville Rock Station. We mentioned it last episode, but I'm going to briefly mention it again. So this radio station's been using a clip of Welcome to the Night, the song we've been talking about, in their station advertisements. They didn't ask, they just went ahead and used it, which is fine, but, you know, we kind of figured if they're going to use Night Demon's song in their ads, they should probably play the full song in the rotation on their station. So the band reached out to them, still no response. We're asking listeners to text their request lines and get Night Demon on the air. So text area code 615-399-1029 and request Night Demon's song, Welcome to the Night. You can mention that you heard a clip of it on their station and you want to hear the full song. I think it'd be pretty cool if we can get them playing Night Demon regularly. So, the Welcome to the Night music video. So, as I mentioned before, April 21st, 2017, Night Demon's full-length album, Darkness Remains, comes out. 6 weeks before, Night Demon releases the lead single for the album, Welcome to the Night, as a music video, March 3rd, 2017. So, we talked about the song and the concept. But the whole Welcome to the Night concept is really spun out of this huge, grand idea. And it also came about in a very transitional time for the band. Here's Jarvis.
So, interesting concept when you talk about the video. The lyrics of the song were written with the video in mind. I wrote the lyrics as I wrote the video. It was a strange time in the band because Armand had just joined. And he was already trying to wrap his head around all the songs and everything else that was going on. And I no longer had Brent there as, you know, my kind of partner in crime there, where most of the band's concepts came directly from us, from a combination. I mean, Dusty would always throw things in and have great ideas, but Brent and I had started the band, and even at that point, you know, Dustin had just gotten comfortable and kind of probably just felt a part of the band finally.
So like we mentioned in part one, this entire idea began as a movie, Midnight Strike, which Jarvis worked up into a full script and screenplay. The movie never got made, but the idea and the concept lived on. The music video and the song were written all as a part of the same idea, taken from the story of the Midnight Strike movie.
when we knew that the film was not going to be made then, I didn't want to lose all of that. I didn't want to lose all of that work. I didn't want to lose all of that creativity, all of that thought. I didn't want to lose that storyline. So I basically condensed it into Welcome to the Night, or at least gave it an introduction. The video itself, I guess, does have an end, but it begins with the end. But really, the story goes much further than that.
So with some help, Jarvis's idea for the Midnight Strike movie, it partially sees the light of day. Here's Dusty.
You know, we had kind of came up with this idea to do a movie, and then we realized that we didn't have the budget to do the movie, so we decided to kind of do a short movie when we did the Welcome to the Night video. So we already had kind of the story, and then Jarvis came up with the storyboard and the exact way that he kind of wanted this story told.
So what I initially did was kind of storyboard the song. And so what I did was I took the music, and I'm a terrible artist as far as drawing or any of that goes, so I didn't even try and do that. In hindsight, I should have just done that, even if it was stick figures, just because when it came down to directing the video, I had this vision in my head, and everybody that worked on this video did a fantastic job. We hired people that were way above us as far as this stuff goes, and they did the best they could, and they did a good job bringing out their vision based on my script. But if I was able to actually storyboard the shots, I think that I could have gotten a better picture of what things were supposed to look like in my head, at least.
So adapting a full movie script to a music video and trying to tell a story without words in a few minutes, it's an ambitious project. So the hours and days of preparation that went into the movie, they really paid off. And with a detailed script and fully fleshed out ideas, the Welcome to the Night video is set to be filmed, but telling a story in the form of a music video, it's a complicated process.
You know, it's an age-old story that when you're trying to tell a story with no dialogue, it's extremely difficult. But that's the case with music videos, right? Because there is no dialogue. The lyrics are the dialogue, and hopefully you can understand them and try and follow them, and hopefully they make sense with the story. I guess that's why having a hot chick on a car always seemed to work in the 80s for some bands. You didn't really have to think about anything. So once we had the song in the can and we had the record in the can, we were already at an advantage because, you know, just having this script in my hand and having these time sequence shots ready to go, we were ready to get going to production right away with this thing.
One thing to note is how much preparation was done before any filming began. Jarvis's scene breakdown had the shots broken down by the second. The budget and the scope of the project dictated that some of his vision wouldn't get fully realized, but he didn't let that limit his ideas.
You know, it's kind of funny. I'm looking at my notes here, and the way that I set this whole thing up, and, you know, obviously there's a lot of stuff that was cut here. When you set out to be a writer of some sort, you don't really want to limit yourself. You want to be able to dream big with this stuff and hope that you can somehow replicate it on the screen. However, you know, if you have fiery car crashes or things like that, that's going to be tough because of budget. Not that we didn't spend any money on this, but it's just going to be tough. And not that there was any of that in this per se. A lot of that stuff was in the film. But I mean, I can already look here at my notes and just see that, you know, I've got like at the 46 second mark, it looks like I have 7 different shots coming in here. And these are all setup shots, and these things happen within 7 seconds. It's like every cut is 1 second. And with that much setup, it's just, you're talking multiple days of shooting. And we did do actually multiple days of shooting on this. Most video shoots are just one day if you're lucky.
So with a tour looming, the guys in the band, they start to assemble their crew.
So the clock's ticking, and we need to go tour South America for 20 shows in 20 days with 2 to 3 flights a day. And the record's got to be set up to come out. So we've got to shoot this video. So, you know, in the wintertime, we put this thing into production. And I actually called Kristen Graham, who was actually an old friend of mine. Actually, she was kind of my first serious girlfriend. But we remained friends through the years. And she had gotten into the film business and had done really well and had done some really cool things. So it felt good to call her up and reconnect and do something creative. That's when she got Tarek involved. They were partners and they had their own production company. And things really started to kick off from there.
So the guys reach out to some old friends and hire producer Kristen Graham and director Tarek Hamidi. And with the crew on board, the pre-production starts.
Hey, this is Kristen Graham, producer on the Welcome to the Night music video. I've known Jarvis and Armand since high school. So when I got the call from my partner Tarek and I to help produce a music video with them, I was more than happy and very honored to be able to be a part of this project.
So we all got together and had a meeting. They drove up from LA and we just started talking about the vibe of the video. And the common thread with not only this film that we wrote, but with the band is just the movie Lost Boys. Ventura has a very similar setting to Santa Carla, which was the name of the city used in that film, which is based on Santa Cruz, California, 5 hours north of here. A lot of similarities between our towns. Just a shady beach town. Quaint but shady place. So we had our directors, we had our production crew, and we knew what we wanted to do with it. And we actually put a lot of work into the pre-production for this. And I'm really proud that we did that. I think we might have gone down to LA a couple times after that and just met with them before we even cast the thing.
The band had a very clear idea for what they wanted this to look like, which makes my job as the producer very easy. Tarek and I put a small but impressive camera team together. We had a few casting sessions and found Sergio and Anna, and our team was complete.
I remember we did look at a bunch of headshots and a lot of profiles from various casting agencies, and we did read-throughs down at the studio that Kristen was working at down in the valley, and we decided on our two leads, who were Anya Rivers and Sergio Villalpando. We didn't know them. We knew nothing about them. Their credits, I mean, they had some stuff, not really stuff that we had watched, but we just liked the way that they looked, and they were exactly what we were looking for in that department. And so luckily enough, they could act and they could do what needed to be done for this video.
So in the Welcome to the Night video, the female lead character's name is Amy, and she's played by Anya Rivers. So Anya Rivers, she was born and raised in Russia, and moved to the U.S. in her early teens and began acting. She's graduated from Columbia College in Chicago with a B.A. in acting. She's been in a few movies, a few TV series. She's starring in a movie called Much Ado that's currently in post-production. Also on her bio, I think it's cool, she's a professional trained singer, kickboxer, and also lists competitive tennis. And the role of Johnny, who's the main character in the video, he's played by Sergio Villalpando. So he was born in Mexico, raised in Switzerland. He's a trilingual, speaks 3 languages. And his resume also lists fencing, kickboxing, and martial arts. So he's a bit of a badass, too. He's been in movies, theater, TV. He was in a movie called Waiting for the Miracle to Come with Willie Nelson. So that's kind of cool. In the subscriber section at nightdemon.net/subscriber, there's a lot more bonus content on these two actors, their bios. You can even see Anya's audition tape where she's rehearsing a scene from the movie Lost Boys. It's pretty cool.
So the actual characters in the story do have names. Sergio's character is named Johnny, of course, right? And Anya's character is named Amy. And naming her Amy was a little nod to Fright Night from me. That's my second favorite film of all time. And, you know, Amanda Bierce is is great in that. I mean, let alone her role in Married with Children, but just in that movie, she's young and she's innocent and she plays the role of Amy great. So I definitely wanted to give some credit there.
The main actors were hired actors. We found them through the director that we were working with. They basically found the talent. We, you know, did screen tests, whatever, all that kind of stuff, and decided on them.
Like I said, we found the main actors going for a certain look, and they had the look, and they had good chemistry together, so it worked out nicely.
So with the actors in place and the crew in place, they all meet for a production meeting right before filming, and something kind of crazy happens.
Hey guys, Jarvis jumping in here. I want to tell you about Shadow Kingdom Records. Shadow Kingdom was the first domestic label to release Night Demon on CD. They put out the EP in 2013, and they also released the vinyl version of Live Darkness. Listen, you guys need to get your ass to the Shadow Kingdom Records store, okay? Right now, they're offering 10% off for all Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners. Just go to the website, put in the code NIGHTDEMON10. That's NIGHTDEMON10, all capital letters, NIGHTDEMON10. No spaces. Put that promo code in upon checkout to get 10% off. Right now, guys, they have the Bloodstar 7-inch, which has sold over 1,500 copies, and these guys cannot hold on to it. So this next pressing, you want to get that before it goes out, okay? Also, SKR Compilation Volume 1. Guys, this is free on Bandcamp. They're giving it away for free. So not only are you going to go to ShadowKingdomRecords.com and put in the code, all capital letters, no spaces, NIGHTDEMON10 upon checkout, you're also going to go to their Bandcamp site and get this compilation for free. You're going to hear tons of fantastic fucking heavy metal. If you love us, you're going to love this label. Check it out, ShadowKingdomRecords.com. Put in the promo code NIGHTDEMON10 and receive 10% off of your entire order. Do it.
When we met with the directors to basically go over the movie, well, not the movie, the video, and how it was going to play out, we went and met them at some bar in LA, you know, very hip kind of place, whatever.
I remember we had a pre-production meeting in a bar in the North Hollywood area a couple days before the shoot, with talent, the band and the crew, and Jarvis had put together this creative Bible for the look he wanted the music video to go for, and it heavily featured stills from the 1987 classic Lost Boys. So we were all sitting around looking at it, discussing ideas for the demon, like prosthetic ideas and how we were going to shoot it.
The kind of like one sheet that Jarvis made, you know, that kind of explains, it's not necessarily a storyboard, but just kind of goes, it's a breakdown of the times, the time of the song and what scene happens at what time. Well, as kind of a placeholder, he used a couple of pictures from like the Lost Boys, because that was a big influence for this whole story.
Tarek and Kristen had brought these one sheets that had the whole treatment of the video and the look we were going for, and it referenced Lost Boys, and there were photos on this one sheet of stills from the movie, and one in particular of Kiefer Sutherland when he was in the lair when the Frog Brothers go in there and kill Alex Winter from Bill and Ted. And Kiefer, the sun comes on Kiefer Sutherland's face, and or the light comes on his face in the movie, and his eyes are all red, and you know, his fangs are out. So anyway, we're sitting there talking about this, and you know, they didn't know too much about it, because when you go and read for something like this, you just get a small part of the script. And again, we had no dialogue, so we had to pick dialogue from something else. And we did pick dialogue from The Lost Boys, and I think they read a scene between Michael and Star. Yes, yes, that is true. That is what happened. Anyway, we're at this bar. And so now we're telling them, okay, here's the deal. Here's what this thing's all about.
And then sure enough, I don't remember who noticed him first, but good old Kiefer Sutherland is sitting in the corner at a table having dinner with some friends. What the fuck?
And I think everyone kind of tripped out for a moment. And then Jarvis jumped up, grabbed Kiefer like they were old friends, and he walks him over and shows him all the work we had put together and what we were doing for the video. And
it was great. I mean, I got up. I had to say something to him. It was kind of funny because nobody wanted to say anything. And I was all, well, you know me. You know Jarvis is going to get up and say something. So I went up. I was like, man, you won't believe why we're here and what we're doing. And so he came over to the table and talked to us, and he was super nice.
You know, he basically gave us his blessing to just go forward with this whole thing. So I think that's another reason why the video came out really well. It was kind of blessed by the man himself.
And Kiefer started talking to us about the contacts he had to wear for the film and how painful they were back then. And it was pretty epic, a great way to start a shoot.
And he was telling us, man, when I had those contacts in, you know, the reason I was, that tear that I have in the movie, that was like a natural. I mean, these things were just fucking my eyes up. And, you know, back then the contact lenses were way worse than today. And even still, Sergio had a hard time with his because those things are just fucking crazy. But what a fucking awesome thing to happen. Kiefer Sutherland just happened to be there at that place at that time. It was perfect.
Talk about a synchronicity kind of thing. So for us, it was like, oh, fuck, this is kind of a sign, you know, like, look at who's here. We're talking about the Lost Boys. We're bigly influenced by him. And he came over and said hi to us, and we talked to him for a minute and got a picture with him. It was a surreal moment.
Those kind of things happen with our band quite often just because we're kind of dialed in and we understand exactly what we want and we have a vision for it. We believe in it, and everything just kind of falls into place when the time is right.
So with everything in place and with Kiefer Sutherland's blessing, the team starts scouting locations for this Lost Boys inspired music video.
So the video was shot over, God, I believe at least 5 different locations, which is insane for a music video for a small heavy metal band from Ventura, for sure. Kristen came down one night and we just walked downtown Ventura. We just went everywhere we could to kind of see what we could do, looking for dark alleys and just whatever looked the spookiest. I mean, we were familiar with everything, but it's a different scope when you have a mission and you're going to actually do something. You see things in a much different way.
So if you're in the Ventura area, or if you're just curious about the locations that were featured in this music video, Welcome to the Night, I've put together a map that shows where all of these shooting locations are. That's available in the subscriber section on nightdemon.net. The Welcome to the Night video is really everything that Night Demon is about. It's equal parts 80s horror, evil imagery, the occult, the dark underbelly of Ventura, California, and of course, live scenes of the band kicking ass. Aside from looking awesome, it tells a condensed version of one of the major plot ideas for the Midnight Strike movie. In 4 minutes, it tells the story of a chaotic and horrific date that goes awry. It's really well done and well edited, and it gets a lot of emotion and plot points over in a short period of time and never feels rushed. I think a lot of this is due to the massive amount of preparation that went into the video. Every second of the music video was planned out against the song and the lyrics. So when you see the video, you're really seeing the band's vision come to life. Here's Jarvis.
And so the story begins. So the storyboard and the breakdown sheets are written as so. So you have from 0 seconds to 1 minute and 6 seconds. Now keep in mind, again, this is talking about the intro of the song. The intro of the song Welcome to the Night, as we discussed, is not only the album intro, but it's actually part of the track. And so we wanted this in here. So here's the struggle right away with the viewer. If you're going the first 1 minute and 6 seconds and you just have this eerie instrumental intro and you have this slow shot. So, I mean, this was our artistic view here. We're trying to take a very cinematic approach to this. So we're not here initially thinking or caring about let's get that viewer in right away. Let's suck them right in. The person who doesn't know who the band is, let's get them in here. This is much more, there's much more depth here that we're trying to go for. And I mean, I guess that's the classic struggle with being an artist. You want to make good business moves and you want to do the right thing to be the most effective on the marketing end of things, just to have the best opportunity to reach people. However, here we go again, right? Classic artist struggle. You got to be true to your art. You got to be true to yourself. So here we go. Scene one, first minute and 6 seconds. It reads, Johnny is standing in doorway on porch in front of house at night. That was our friend Billy Johnson's house, actually. It carries on. Blood dripping on floor. Shot is of shoes. Camera captures blood dripping and does a very slow 40-second pan all the way up to the face. Man is breathing very, very heavily, covered in blood, hands, face, and all. When cymbal swell comes in, camera zooms very close up and shoots straight into one of his eyes and gives off the impression that we are shooting back in time, like a memory he has. You know, I'm not sure how well that's executed, but again, you're dealing with a limited budget, you're dealing with weather, you're dealing with time, all kinds of stuff. That location that we got, thank God for Billy Johnson. I think we had to like go to the bar that night and get him and ask him, hey man, can we use your house or something? You know, he had the right entryway that we could shoot in. It was kind of covered. So the, you know, lighting is a really big thing when you shoot video or you do photography. So it has to be lit right to look good. If it's not lit right, it's going to look like shit. If something's lit right, you can shoot it with pretty much anything. All right, so moving on. 1 minute and 7 seconds to 1 minute and 12 seconds. So 5 second shot here, okay? 5 seconds. We have seven changing shots, each of the hits. Live cuts on each member of a hit. So, and ending on Johnny's face. So basically in 5 seconds, I said before it was 7 seconds. No, it's seven shots in 5 seconds. And if I compare this to my original notes, these were the original shots that I had planned. I planned on just cutting to a flashback of him getting ready to go out. So the first shot is shirt, second shot pants, third shot shoes, fourth shot spike bracelet, fifth shot leather jacket, sixth shot earring, seventh shot leather glove. And then in big capital letters, or just live cuts on each member of so, you know, that's what we ended up going with. But even that is just so much work for such a short thing. And, you know, I wanted to create this little scene of seven cuts to create a 5 second montage of a metalhead getting ready to go out. I mean, these are the things that we see in our heads and in our imaginations. And when making a film, these are the things that you need to implement to help tell that story visually. So those were just insert shots, by the way.
So something to mention about these band shots. In the final version of the video, we get the band performing. They're shrouded in darkness and shadows, and they're lit by blue light. And it's a cool effect, and it's a great way to bring the band into the story without detracting from the story that's going on. The blue light sort of gives the band footage a feeling of being in a different reality from the main video story of Amy and Johnny. It's a cool touch, and it's really well done.
The band scene was filmed at the Ventura Theater. We had access to a closed theater, so we ended up, instead of playing across the stage, we actually turned 90 and played in like one back corner of the stage and kept it all dark and made sure that... we kept ourselves in the dark. We didn't really want to be a focal point in the video. We wanted it to mainly be a mini movie. So there's very little, band shots. But it's cool when the band is shown in the video because it adds another element. And, you know, also people want to see some of the band as they're watching this little mini movie.
The live shots we actually filmed at the Majestic Ventura Theater, which is a 1,200 seat concert venue. It's an old theater. It was built in 1928. It's the oldest concert venue here in town. They weren't doing concerts back then, but they did a lot of shit through the years. And Actually, that's where we filmed the Screams in the Night performance. But when we did it this time, we actually filmed it from stage left shooting to stage right. So the band is actually not set up on the stage facing what would be an audience. We're facing the monitor board. So it's kind of funny. We really could have done that anywhere. We didn't get the major bang for our buck, I guess you could say, even though they gave it to us for free. Thanks, Rob, Loanne, and Ronnie. But really, to be on the big stage and have the lights like that, I mean, that's the big concert scene. But we did that in Screams in the Night, so no regrets there. And it ended up looking cool anyway for this.
So after the band shots, we're back into the story, and it opens on a scene at Amy's house as Johnny approaches the front porch. And it's cool that the establishing shot contrasts this so much. Initially, at the beginning of the video, you see Johnny dripping with blood in this same location. Only now, we're flashed back to happier, innocent times on the same front porch. And it's here when you can start to see that the final video starts to differ from what Jarvis had written.
Now we're on to scene two, officially. 1 minute and 12 seconds to 1 minute and 17 seconds. Another 5 second shot. So this is a shot of Johnny from behind knocking on the door. Amy opens door as camera slowly pulls back. Couple embrace each other and kiss briefly. It's basically a greeting to establish that they're a couple. Because again, we have no dialogue here. So it's not like a first date. So the fact that they kiss right away, well, hey, you never know. Sometimes there's that magical connection, right? Anyway, okay, it carries on. They turn around in the same shot and being walking toward the camera to off screen, or maybe joyfully running is kind of what we wrote, but that just didn't fit the vibe. Scene three, 1 minute, 18 seconds to 1 minute and 25 seconds. So here we go, 7 seconds. This is a long shot. The couple proceeds to walk down the street. Now images of flashing different signs on the street. So we want to do insert shots here again. We want to do insert shots 5 through 11. So basically, I'll read on. It just says, trying to make it look like peep shows, adult bookstores, CD bars, much like the Ozzy Osbourne shot in the dark video, but without being in a car. That's actually written down.
So these street scenes that Jarvis is talking about, where Amy and Johnny are walking, it's right in front of the Century 10 Downtown Theater in East Main Street, Ventura, California. There's also a deck where they kind of lean against. That's a Snapper Jack's Taco Shop. That's also on East Main Street, 555 East Main Street. So if you're in Ventura, California, another filming location you can check out.
Scene 4, 1 minute and 26 seconds to 1 minute and 36 seconds. This is a tracking shot. Johnny is talking to his Amy. I don't know why I wrote his Amy. He doesn't own her. And is almost walking backwards. He's very animated about what he is describing to her. That's when he runs into a cop taking a bite out of a donut with his left hand to his mouth and holding an open coffee cup in his right hand about chest level. This should slow down to slow motion of him running into the cop and having him violently spill his coffee all over himself and drop his donut. The cop gets angry and scolds them, but the camera speeds back to normal as the couple runs into a metaphysical shop. Scene 5, 137 to 141. They enter the store from the inside point of view, walk in and start looking around. Next shot cuts to Johnny's finger pointing at a necklace in a display case that has a sigil emblem, and it closes up on the necklace in the glass case or whatever. So obviously that's the Night Demon sigil. That's the necklace. Now, when we see the cut of the video, you can tell that we are already off track here. The cop thing never happened. And also to explain, when in the video, when you see them past the psychic, the fortune teller, the really cool looking building with all the neon signs and stuff like that, that is actually a different location than the location that we shot Christine, the psychic.
So if you're curious, in the video featured very prominently the exterior of this psychic shop. There's neon signs. One says tarot, one says psychic. This is an actual Psychic Shop. It's actually named The Psychic Shop. It's 1474 East Santa Clara Street, Ventura, California. So if you're in the Ventura area, or if you're making a pilgrimage to see some Night Demon locations, that's one to check out. It'd be a good photo op.
I will say that that original Psychic Shop, that was one of the locations that we scouted at first. And, you know, truth be told, I never did ask them if we could shoot there. We shot there at night because it was all lit up and it was closed and it was just fucking perfect. It was magical for what we were trying to portray, to have that kind of location. But what I did do is I did make an appointment with the psychic that owned that shop. And I did go in for a tarot card reading, and she was very nice and she was very cool. So, you know, I did give her some money in the end, right?
So the interior shots of the card reader shop is a different location, and it's an actual metaphysical shop. The card reader is an actual medium, and her name is Christine Crotteville. So when she does the tarot reading, it's legit. She knows what she's doing. Here's Mike Destito. He worked in the shop, and he also plays the lead thug in the video, the one who gets slaughtered horribly by the beast.
My co-worker, I worked at a metaphysical store on Johnson Drive in Ventura, and I'd worked there for years. My co-workers in the video, we're still working together at another spot, Christine. And Christine knows Armand and his sister from when their family had a little food place in the food court. So I forgot who it was that asked me, and I said, yeah, Christine. She'd be great to play the gypsy fortune teller. She fit that role perfect, in my opinion, too.
Here's Christine Crotteville, the medium from the music video, and friend of the band.
This all started when I was 3. As far as professionally doing tarot readings, probably for about 30, 35 years. Doing readings for people on the channel and the medium. And I sometimes use tarot to focus the energy so that we deal with the mundane and we deal with the spiritual. In other words, what you're up to, what it behooves you to be up to, and how to get there. Mikey is good friends with the boys. And a great admirer, and I was introduced to your music, and I'm privileged to take part in the video. It was so exciting.
Scene 6, 1 minute and 42 seconds to 1 minute and 45 seconds. Side shot of gypsy lady behind counter, slow motion, placing necklace on Johnny. All right, so already we're off track here. We actually ended up doing something better. See, so sometimes, you know, in every film and in every music video, any television series, you're going to have to make tons of adjustments on the fly. Maybe not so much in television. I mean, that's pretty much, if you're in television and you're writing a script, for people to act that out basically immediately. It's kind of like doing a podcast. Every week we have to deliver, right? So you have to come up with something. You have to do something and you have to make sure that it sticks. And there it is. It lives forever. With a film or a music video, it's totally different. There's tons of adjustments. And unfortunately, as you can tell, a lot of stuff so far in this project had to be cut. So this is actually something that worked out in our favor. So instead of having Christine as the psychic, or as we call her here, gypsy lady, because we hadn't cast her yet when we wrote these shots, but you know, we ended up with a much better situation, and we actually got to go into her little room, like her psychic room, you know, the crystal ball room, the classic, the vibey, spooky tarot reading room. And that was much, much better for the aesthetic of this, instead of, you know, just some lady behind the counter selling fucking crystals, right? So that was really cool, and that worked out fucking beautifully.
So one of the most central scenes to this music video is when the main character enters the shop and he gets his tarot cards read. The cards that come up, the Ten of Swords, the Three of Swords, and the Devil card. So we ask Christine the meanings behind these tarot cards.
Yeah, I was just sort of guided to pick some of the most terrifying cards, in my opinion. For instance, the Ten of Swords basically represents power, complexity, It represents the end of a cycle and the beginning of a new one, not necessarily a happy cycle, and about embarking on a new journey where you must liberate yourself from old patterns or fall deeply into the darkness. It's about saying goodbye to the old you, a turning point, going down into the depths of darkness to realize that the only way is up and out again. It also represents power, victimization, martyrdom, and suffering. And as far as then, the Three of Swords, that represents pain, loss, betrayal, heartbreak, suffering alone, fear of rejection, fear of jealousy, loss of love, loss of loved ones, discovering a painful truth about yourself or someone or something else, feeling that others are out to hurt you or you're out to hurt others or wanting to hurt others. And then as far as the Devil card, it's about being taken over or controlled by something or someone else, fighting against the temptations, being led astray by someone who wants to take control over you and assert their power without the awareness, or you don't have the awareness of your own actions or the consequences, where you are literally bound and chained to something, and it represents badness, darkness, and self-imposed bondage. So I thought those were kind of intense to pull out for the video, because it was so well done to me. It was so fascinating for me to watch that I wanted to see it again and again. So it had an emotional impact, and it had a very intense response to it. I really liked it. It's amazing what you guys do.
So if you're in Ventura, California, and you want to get a tarot reading by the same person that did the one in the music video, Christine now works at Mockingbird Moon, which is at 5976 Telegraph Road. So check that out. You can get your tarot cards read by the same person that read Johnny's in the video. That's kind of cool. One more thing I wanted to mention. Christine Crotteville, aside from doing the tarot reading in the video, she really hits this character dead on. She just has that look. It's like a evil, knowing look that she gives Johnny, a little creepy and a little bit of like foreshadowing. And I think this is another example of synchronicity with this band. They happen to be friends with a medium who plays and looks the part perfectly for the video. And the result comes off, I think, better than the band had even hoped.
What is up, Night Demon Heavy Metal podcast listeners? This is your resident motor mouth, Jarvis Leatherby, telling you about something very, very special here. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This is a book, guys. That's right. We all know Decibel Magazine as the number one metal magazine in North America for many years running. But you know what? They also have a fucking killer book series, okay? I want to tell you about this. The Decibel Hall of Fame Anthology Volume 3. This limited edition hardcover includes 25 Hall of Fame stories from Decibel's revered monthly series of artist interviews on the making of their classic extreme music albums. Featured in this book are stories behind classic albums such as Stained Glass by Judas Priest, Apocalyptic Raids from our good buddy Tom Warrior's Hellhammer, Pleasure to Kill from Teutonic German Terror creator, Court in the Act from the legendary new wave of British heavy metal gods, Satan, and of course, Abigail from the legendary King Diamond, and last but not least, Night Demon's personal favorite, Heartwork, from the only other band from Liverpool, Carcass. So guys, please head on over right now to store.decibelmagazine.com and grab a copy to read the definite stories of heavy metal's definitive albums. Put in the promo code NIGHTDEMON upon checkout to receive 10% off. That's NIGHTDEMON, one word, all capital letters. Get your 10% store.decibelmagazine.com. While you're there, guys, go ahead and grab a subscription of the Mag 2. They've got a great vinyl flexi series. Do yourselves a favor here. Get on the level. Store.decibelmagazine.com. Promo code NIGHTDEMON. See ya.
Scene 7, 146 to 148, 2 seconds. This is my favorite. Cuts to Gypsy's lips saying, "We've waited for you." And it says, match up with the lyrics of the song. Okay, so we ended up changing that to her saying, "Welcome to the night." Now, after scene 7, from 149 to 151, originally it says, live performance, cut to Jarvis singing, "Welcome to the night." We decided it'd be much cooler. I mean, you know, if Christine says that directly to him and you see her mouth just mimic my words and my voice, it's just, it's great.
We've waited for you. Welcome to the night.
Then 1 minute 52 seconds to 1 minute 55, cut to Armand ripping the guitar solo. 3 seconds of Armand shredding. Scene 8, 156 to 204. The couple is seen exiting the shop from the outside. Johnny grabs necklace and looks down at it with a confusing look. Okay, so it's obviously not written in here that Christine gives him this medallion or this, you know, Kristen had somebody make this. It's like a custom made, the Night Demon symbol. It was so brand new. It was just so cool to see that physically done by somebody. But basically, Christine gives Johnny his fortune and tells him that he's basically fulfilling his destiny and he's here as this kind of chosen one. And she places the necklace on him. So he comes out and Amy's kind of like, "What the fuck is that? What is that thing around your neck?" And he's like, you know, kind of, "I don't know. This psychic just told me I'm fulfilling my destiny and here it is. And she put it on me." Scene 9, 2 minutes 5 seconds to 208. Couple continues walking down the dark street with fog and shadows, maybe wet ground, running shadows behind them. So again, in the cinematic mind, there's this idea of this dark alley and smoke coming up from the ground, like shooting up from the fucking the manhole covers like it's New York City or some shit. But no, we're in Ventura. So, but, you know, talk about wet ground and stuff. It did rain, and it rained hard during the couple days of this shoot. And for those of you who aren't familiar with Southern California, rain out here is extremely rare. If we get it this heavy once, twice a year, I mean, we're lucky. We're like, wow, this is awesome. So it was the perfect storm, literally.
Fucking, we couldn't have planned this shit. Torrential downpour. It was great, man. You couldn't have, like, made it better. And we decided to just keep going with it. The actors didn't give a fuck. They kept going with it. Everybody was drenched. We had to, like, improvise and make, you know, covers for the cameras and all that kind of stuff out of plastic bags. But I think it worked so awesome. Yeah, we had no idea it was going to rain that night. It was crazy the way it worked out.
You know, it was all rainy and cold that time, and it doesn't really rain too often in California, but for this shoot it did, and it adds a really, really cool effect.
The second night was the fun night. I was most excited about that. We had prosthetics, we had stunts, and a lot of blood. And of course, that's the night that it rained, so slowed us down a little bit, but everyone stayed on top of their game, and we were in high spirits, and we pulled through.
Scene 10, 209 to 219. Four thugs come out of the darkness, are harassing girlfriend. There's a typo. There is a struggle to grab her purse. Hero, which is Johnny, steps in to intervene, but jocks push him back, and one guy gets him into a headlock while the other punches him in the stomach and puts him to the ground. All right, so here we go. You following me so far? Guy goes to pick up his girlfriend on a date. They're walking around town. They're seeing all kinds of cool, exciting stuff in the street. They go to this fortune teller. He gets this medallion. He's fulfilling his destiny, apparently. And so anyway, the date goes on. They're in a dark alley. And who comes? Four thugs or four jocks. Just wanted to, you know, fuck with them. Take the girl's purse. Classic, right?
The main guy who gets killed in the most brutal way is our friend Mikey DeStito. He's a just the dude when it comes to the heavy metal guy in Ventura. He loves a band. We've all been friends for a really long time. Super awesome dude. And we've tried to keep a theme going and having him in as many of our videos as we can.
You know, Mikey, obviously, from being our buddy and being in the video, Mikey is like our Alicia Silverstone. He's in the Black Widow video, and he'll probably be in all of our videos. And actually, you know, Midnight Strike was, you know, the main character was based on him and was Mikey before he was Johnny. So there you go, Mikey. I guess you never knew that.
Here's Mike DeStito on playing the role of the lead thug in the Welcome to the Night video.
And all I can say, it was an honor. It was incredible. I loved it. To be a part of something your friends do, and when you share the love for that kind of music, I mean, everyone kind of associates me, and even I associate myself, total 80s guy. I love my classic 80s rock and metal. And the boys play the music I love. Their influence is, in my opinion, that 80s metal and rock. And my God, when I get to hear their music and experience it, it sends me back in time. So I think it was Jarvis who, when we meet up and have coffee every once in a while, had told me about the idea of the video. And when he asked me to be a part of it, I was floored. I get to be part of their creation. I get to, I mean, it's like living a dream. It's like going back in time. And I got to play a thug. And, I mean, it was just so much fun.
Scene 11, 220 to 225. Okay, this is cool. Aerial view of thugs dogpiling on man, which is Johnny. And kicking and punching him. All right, so aerial view. So here in my mind, we have like, you know, a drone or a helicopter or a crane or some shit, or somebody's on the roof of a building, but that didn't happen. Aerial view did not happen, especially in the torrential downpour. He is under the pile and not very visible. Thugs start to slow down and back off a bit. Camera pushes in slowly as Johnny is struggling on his own with himself, face down and convulsing. Yeah, so I mean, that's something, that's what we really wanted. Like, I think, you know, it's kind of funny to think about it, but I think I was thinking of the movie Teen Wolf here. In that scene when Scott gets dogpiled, when he's trying to go for the ball in the basketball court, and everybody's all over him, there's a struggle, you can't see what's going on under there, and then all of a sudden he emerges with this growl, and he's the fucking Teen Wolf, and everybody, the whole gymnasium is just silent. So definitely you can see what the things that us guys are influenced by here, right? 80s classic horror. Scene 12, 2:26 to 2:35. Johnny pulls his hands away from his face as he violently turns his head up and screams. This is when we first see the monster. This entire aerial scene should last a while. So a while. So I'm talking 9 seconds here in this scene. I think that these guys did a really good job on this one. When he slows down, when he comes out of this thing, and that rain is just pouring. I mean, that's real rain. That's why it looks so fucking good on camera. And when he comes out, it's just, he's got blood, his shirt's ripped, and he emerges. And now he's got claws. He's got this face of doom. Total. What a great prosthetic job. She did a great job. And, you know, I remember Sergio was having a real hard time because we had to put these contact lenses in, and they weren't like super legit. But, you know, I mean, he had this, he had all this prosthetics on his face, and he actually did come out looking pretty good, like a pretty good vampire. Although, we never do reveal that, because it's not really a vampire. He's not really a vampire. We don't really know what he is, but it's definitely not human. Or it's definitely some hybrid of a human and some other kind of beast. Okay, then we go to live performance insert shots 12 through 15. And this happens at 2 minutes 36 seconds to 2:49. So the bridge of the song starts with a close-up of Jarvis singing. In between the two vocal parts, camera makes a quick cut of the horrified looks on the thugs' faces. So, you know, I'll even say that us performing in this video was something that we wanted to avoid entirely. We didn't want to be in it at all, unless we were acting in it, but even that we didn't really want to do. We would have only done that if we had to. Thank God we didn't. But I think, again, just trying to fill the time and fill the space, it was kind of a necessary thing for us to do. And the label definitely didn't complain about it, because label, you know, they generally like performance videos and they like to showcase the band in there. So, you know, there you have it. We're in that. So then we move on. 2 minutes, 50 seconds to 3:13. Cuts back and forth with Armand playing the guitar solo and the following fight scenes. Scene 13A, one thug runs into the frame as our monster swiftly gouges him on the thought with his claw, and blood flies everywhere on the thought. I'm gonna say that's throat. That was either, no, I think that was our buddy Rex Pena. The other two guys, Jonah Weber and Rex Pena, friends of ours. I think Jonah gets his neck snapped, actually, in this one. Scene 13B, fight scene. Monster, I like how we call him that. Monster runs and tackles another one, sinks his teeth into the jugular, and blood, once again, flies everywhere. Okay, so there you go, Mikey DeCito's death, but blood is not flying everywhere. It still looked fucking awesome the way it runs out. And man, yeah, we did have corn syrup fucking everywhere. But again, it's like we didn't even have a special effects guy on this shoot at all. And we were just trying to do everything ourselves the best we could with the knowledge that we had. And there you go. I mean, we end up with what we did.
And getting killed by the beast. Funniest part about that was it was really raining. That wasn't fake rain. And we're out in the back alley where the recording studio is, in an industrial area. And I was surprised I didn't catch pneumonia. But we were shooting the scene of me on the ground screaming. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs with fake corn syrup spitting out of my mouth, you know, giving it my all for the Academy Award. But it was just so much fun. Jarvis, Armand, Dusty, thank you so much. You know, hey, and whenever you need a thug, a geek, a whatever, I would love to play some kind of beastly wolf man, because, you know, I got the hair for it. Let me know. I'll be there.
Hey, guys, Nesbitt here. If you'd like to support Night Demon and this podcast, the best way to do it is to become a Night Demon subscriber. Not only will you be doing your part to support a true heavy metal band out there really living it, you'll also gain access to a ton of extras. Bonus audio content, a subscriber-only merch store with rare items from the band's archives, you can stream never-before-heard demos and unearth live concerts from the live vaults, communicate with the other Night Demon diehards on an exclusive subscriber forum, and gain early access to all press releases, album pre-orders, new merchandise, and a ton more. And another thing that I think is pretty cool is Night Demon will be donating 10% of every subscription fee to the Metal Cares Foundation, which is a charitable fund the band started in 2014 to aid those in our metal community. So head over to nightdemon.net/subscriber and join us as we make heavy metal history together as one. And on a side note, I'll personally think you're a grade A badass.
Okay, scene 14. This is 3 minutes 14 seconds to 3 minutes 19 seconds. He looks at the girl as she's trembling in shock and fear. Okay, so we're talking Johnny is looking at Amy, at his girlfriend. After all this madness, he almost lunges at her, but then notices something kind of familiar that keeps him at bay. So I thought Sergio did a fantastic job acting in this scene specifically. He did a really good job where he kind of lunges at her and then she gets spooked and you look back at his face and he's got this, just he's like wincing in pain, but there's this sadness behind his brow and behind his eyes, which keep in mind, he's got a prosthetics all over his face. So his eyebrows are totally raised and he's wearing contact lenses. So, and he's got these fucking crazy sharp teeth and, you know, I mean, poor guy, he couldn't even talk when he had all that shit on and all that in his mouth. But, you know, I mean, what a great job to, he really nailed it. And that's the one thing that I love about this stuff. When you could put your passion and your emotion into it and it really comes out like that, it makes all of this shit worth it just for a scene like that. It carries on. She sees an electricity around the pentagram around his neck. Maybe. Yeah. So again, in our cinematic minds, it's like, right? Just this electricity just through the symbol. Like it's like this supernatural electricity is activating him into this beast. But, you know, again, who the fuck knows how to do that? And what does that cost? So obviously that's why the maybe was there. But, you know, this is why I like explaining this stuff. So you can get the mental picture in your head and you can watch the video now and this will happen for you. He then flees the scene and runs into the darkness. Scene 15, live performance. 3 minutes, 20 seconds to 3:31. Cuts between performance shots and the man running in the darkness like a maniac. Okay, so basically, yeah, him just running, trying to get away from whatever the fuck is going on. He's starting to realize, hey, something's happening to me. Or he's just a guy that's just torn and now he's on the fucking loose and now he's going to go get some more. He's out for some more blood. Any way you want to look at it, that storyline could be true either way. Scene 16, 3 minutes 32 seconds to 3:44. He is running down a dark road. He keeps falling down and trying to get up again until he falls and he changes back to his mortal self. He is all torn and tattered. All right, so this obviously did not happen, but that's how we pictured it. He would just, he keeps running, he gets weak. I mean, he's in the rain, which is awesome. I mean, we didn't write that in. So that's cool that that happened. But, you know, I kind of wanted this transformation almost like maybe almost like a werewolf, right? Where you shapeshift and then you change back to mortal form and it kind of fucks you up when that happens. Scene 17. We get the same effect in the intro, except this time it zooms out of his eye. And we jump back to present time of his bloody face. So the same shot as the intro. Then we see the back of Amy come into the frame and embrace him. So without the zooming in and out of the eye thing that we tried to do at the beginning and try and do at the end and weren't able to execute, we did get the effect that he had come back to her house and she obviously had went home in terror. And, he was there back in human form, but covered in all this fucking blood from these other guys that she saw him murder. And she doesn't know what to do, but she embraces him. She accepts him and she's afraid for him. She's obviously afraid for herself, but she's afraid for him because she loves him. It's scene 18, final shot. Zooming out from her crying face all the way to the street. So you get the whole scope of the house and the doorway. That's funny. Somebody told me recently that, I don't know, maybe I have this fascination with suburbia. Like, even though I hate it, I think Armand and Dusty, we're not really suburban guys, but in the films that I watch and in the stories that I write, I think that's a very common theme. And after reading this now, years later, I can definitely see the truth in that.
Post was pretty simple. I think we had a rough cut to the band within a week, and we knocked it out pretty quickly. So I think we had done a lot of the work in pre-production and on the days of shooting that Post was pretty simple. So it was a really fun process being a part of this music video. Tark and I were really, really happy with the final product. We're glad to see the success of Night Demon and hope they're able to pull through whatever COVID nightmare is going on and continue making great music.
There's a lot said with that video, and I think it was a great representation of Darkness Remains and where we were as a band and the progression that we had made at that point. And also, it was definitely a new chapter for us, and a lot of great things happened ever since we put that song and album out.
So over these few days in January, in various Ventura, California locations, the footage for Welcome to the Night gets taped. The footage gets edited, and on March 3rd, the music video gets released as the lead single for Darkness Remains. The band's work writing the Midnight Strike movie and all the intense preparation in the lead up to filming really pays off to create a slick, dark, and fun tribute to 80s horror. The team, that was a mix of professionals and old friends, they really pull off an epic mini movie, and it really drives home the themes of the song itself. In an age when it seems like sometimes music videos are sort of an afterthought, Night Demon pulls off an ambitious, imaginative video that will live on in heavy metal immortality. So that is it for Welcome to the Night Part 3. It's part 3 of our Welcome to the Night trilogy of episodes. So we went pretty deep, but there's just so much to talk about. And there is even more content for Welcome to the Night in the subscribers section at nightdemon.net. There's actors' bios, audition videos, an early cut of the video, pictures of all the locations, Jarvis's script and storyboards. There's photos of the sigil necklace and blood-soaked clothing worn by the actors. There's a video tour of Jarvis with the clothing and the props used from the music video. Even pictures of the band with the Lost Boy himself, Kiefer Sutherland. So I hope you enjoyed this deep dive into Welcome to the Night. And this is Nesbitt signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Unbearable suspense keeps you on the edge of an abyss of terror.
Take a cult film odyssey into cinemadness with Cinematic Void. Based in Los Angeles, Cinematic Void is a film series that specializes in horror and exploitation films. Currently, we are hosting Cinematic Void Up All Night in the Cinemadness Movie, a monthly virtual screening series, as well as the Cinematic Void podcast, where we dive deeper into the world of cult cinema. You can find Cinematic Void on the World Wide Web at cinematicvoid.com, as well as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And if you like what we do, you can support Cinematic Void by joining our Patreon. Until next time, see you in the void.